Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Therapy and welcome to September. Not September, it's December. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And my name is Nicole Tomasini. I'm a spirit therapist. Spirit therapy deals with connecting the mind, the body, and the spirit, and how to work with all of those things. I see that we have a caller, area code 443. I'll be with you in just 1 second. Today we're talking about self-healing. It's a topic that's been coming up a lot. A lot of us are dealing with some sort of healing, whether it's the way we're thinking, the way we're feeling, or our physical body. And our new paradigm is about learning how to heal ourselves. Not always having to run to the doctor to see what's going on with us, to have a communication and understanding of what's going on with our body, why our body is doing certain things, why our mind has certain thoughts going on, and why our physical, our emotions are feeling the way that they are. So we will talk about all those things in just a second. Hello, everyone, for tuning in here. So let's see what our caller has to say real quick, and then we will get right into it. Area code 443, you are on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you? What's your name?
My name is Arlene.
Hi, Arlene.
Hi. You know what? It's this subject that you're talking about today is kind of near and dear to my heart because I'm an energy healer. So when I saw that you were going to be talking about this for me this evening, I decided to listen in.
Wonderful. So you don't necessarily have a question. You just want to listen in.
Yes.
Yeah? All right.
Yes.
So I'll mute you and we'll continue on. If you're in the chat room, go ahead and type in a question or a comment.
Okay. All right.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So self-healing, what is that really about? There's a whole debate right now about, do our thoughts really affect what's going on? How I feel about something, can I affect what's going to happen in my life or in my body? And it's been proven to me time and time again that what you think really does create our reality, and how you feel is a great indicator as to where we are and what needs to be healed. Usually when we get sick, a lot of times we go into some sort of freak out mode. Oh my God, what is happening to me? Am I ever going to get better? Unless you've been doing the training and the work and you realize that it's your body just trying to tell you something. If it's a throat thing, it's about communicating. If it's about a leg thing, it's about moving forward. A bowel or a stomach thing, it's about releasing the past, releasing the emotions. So if you don't know about the great book by Louise L. Hay, Heal Your Body, it's a wonderful, simple list of things that can happen in your body and why metaphysically and how to heal them with affirmations. With the way that you think, thinking and feeling is all connected. And the way that we feel is usually because we think something. And if we think that we can't heal ourselves, then we probably can't. And if we kind of think that we can heal ourselves, then maybe we can do a little something, but we can always justify it as, oh, well, I just got enough rest and now I feel better. Or, oh, that really wasn't such a big deal anyway. That's why it's feeling better. But if we can get our thoughts to a place where we really believe that we can heal ourselves, and that takes thoughts, that takes explaining to yourself and convincing yourself that you can do this. So whatever thoughts you have going on in your head, can have a lot to do with whether you're actually healing yourself or you're hurting yourself. My example, because I've been working on it, is with losing weight and getting to the place where my body feels like I know it can be. I'm not terribly overweight, but I do feel like I have more going on than I need to. And it's been a struggle with going to the gym. What do I want to eat? I don't like rules. I don't like people telling me what to do. So I rebel against what I really want to do. So I have, for the past month, incorporated 100% thinking about what I want to see in my body and focusing on the things that I love about my body. And every time I have those thoughts of, oh, that's that spot I don't like, see, that part's still fat, I go, wait a minute. You can shorten it down to wait a minute. We decided not to think those things, so let's choose another thought. And immediately I say, oh, right, we're thinking about what we like. We're thinking about loving ourselves. We're focusing on what we want instead of what is. And, of course, being a spirit therapist, I've known about these things and have done my best to apply them to myself over the past few years. But in this past month, I was sick of going in circles with it and decided, okay, I am really going to do this, not only to fix myself, but to see if it really works. And I saw a difference within the first week. I just felt better. I didn't really see a difference. Second week, started to see a little difference. Third week, way more different at the gym. I noticed that I could get myself to the gym because it wasn't about trying to hit a home run every time I went there. It was about get on base. Just get on base. Just swing the ball, get on base. And get on base is just walking in the front door. So that's easy, and that I can do. And now I've been going a lot, which also has affected what I've been eating and how much I've been eating and why I want to eat. So I was trying to do all these things from the outside in and having varying successes, but clearly not a win. And now that I am totally focused, and when I'm not, I get myself right back on track of focusing on the things that I love about myself and thanking my body for doing things and for being so wonderful. Thank you, knees. Thank you, arms. And doing the physical because it feels good, not to try to fix the world and have everything change in a heartbeat, because that's what I was trying to do. As an Aries, I want to do everything right now. So I was constantly getting frustrated. And I also realized that eliminating stepping on the scale was one of the best things I could have done for myself. Because, if the scale works for you, do the scale. But if the scale is not working for you, this may be why. It's keeping you in a negative loop. Because the scale, especially if you're a woman, is going to tell you, give you false reads, either more or less than what you actually are, depending on where you are in your menstrual cycle, depending on how much water you're retaining. And so I would realize if I didn't lose what I thought I should have lost because of the work I had put into it, I got very discouraged and I would rebel. And then if it told me I was less and then it went up, I was like, what's going on? It was like reiterating what's kind of really happening right now. And that is not what is needed, and I don't like the number game. I don't think it really has anything to do with what you weigh. It's really about how you feel. So I had a fight with my scale, and the scale lost. It was a great anger release, and there is no scale anymore. And I know I've lost weight, but I don't really care. I don't care what the numbers say. They don't mean anything to me. I know when I'm at the place that I have in my head. So I tell this story for self-healing because that's really what it's all about. It's really about focusing on what you want, not on what is. So if we're talking about any kind of body healing, if we're having an illness, a dis-ease, I like looking at the word disease as dis-ease. It's just something in the body that is making it not easy, which is its natural state. So there are ways that we can think that can help us. For instance, I have a perfect immune system, a perfect immune system. My immune system can do anything. My immune system is better than any pharmacy that I could possibly think of or partake in. And when we're saying it, the feeling backs it up. I feel my, whatever that immune system is, that thing, do what it needs to do. And that's what energy healing is all about, is using the thoughts and using the feelings to invoke a feeling in your body. The same way as if you're about to hit the car in front of you, you slam on the brakes and you get that adrenaline jolt and that pit in your stomach. Oh my God, I don't want to hit this person. That all goes together. It's the same thing as evoking the feeling of healing, the feeling of wellness, the feeling of love, the feeling of gratitude. All of those things are healing vibrations. So it doesn't really, the universe and your body doesn't speak English, whatever language you speak. It speaks vibration. So we have to match the words up with the feeling and then back it up with the action. We are here in physical bodies to do stuff physically. A lot of times we get it switched around and we try to fix the outside while the way we're thinking is still a mess. And that can have results sometimes, but it's a lot more work and it's not really fun. You're not working with your power and your strength and everything that manifests everything in your world. So I read an article in the New York Times and the title was Positive Thinking Doesn't Really Work or something like that. Studies show that positive thinking doesn't really work. I was like, what? So I read it and at the end, what they said was just thinking positive, just thinking thoughts doesn't do anything. But thinking thoughts and following it up with action and having some sort of step-by-step plan, that worked the best. So it's not that positive thinking doesn't work. It's that it can't just be the words. It has to be followed up by emotion and action. So what are we doing? We're really getting our minds right and then backing it up with action. So, and this has a lot to do with manifestation. It has a lot to do with also calming yourself. You can't heal yourself if you've got all kinds of chattering going on in your brain. Where's your center? Where's your state of calm? So meditation, if you're not meditating at this point, I don't know, man. I would imagine if you're paying attention to these things and you haven't been meditating, the instant you start, it's going to open a whole world for you. It's probably the missing link because just like we have to sleep, I really believe that we have to meditate. We have to, whatever that means to you. There's a wonderful Alan Watts, How to Meditate on YouTube that talks all about it. It doesn't matter. Just let this moment be the moment. Let the thoughts come. Don't have any judgment on the thoughts. And just be for a minute and see what comes up, but don't engage. You are the observer. And just doing that, however that happens and however long, will change your whole thing. Changes your whole paradigm because you're finding your inner calm and you're tuning into what the vibration of the universe is. And you're tuning into more than just yourself, the silence. The silence is so powerful. I realize that's a huge way of how I self-heal. When I'm getting agitated or anxious or just feeling things I don't want to feel, I know is not peace. A lot of times it's just that I need some time where it's quiet, just to not have to respond to somebody and not have to talk. And just that can help us to find our center, and then we can really hear that inner voice, not the craving voice, not the ego voice, not the worry voice. It's really ourselves and how our soul is always guiding us to exactly what we need. So if we're going through something, physical or otherwise, our soul sees it as an opportunity for us to learn and grow. We may see it as a problem or start freaking out about it, but it doesn't have to be that. Anything that's happening is our soul trying to show us how we can learn and grow. And the lesson may be how to calm down, how to not freak out about things that are just a lesson for us. So yeah, because you know, you listen to a lot of teachers and when you're learning to listen to yourself, you can wonder what's the right voice, what's the right thing talking to me. Well, what if I'm telling myself wholeheartedly that I need to eat this entire chocolate cake? Is that the right voice? I don't think that's the right voice. So, but that's one of your voices and it's telling you something for some reason. So I find you can't really fight those voices or turn those voices off. You know what the right voice is, and you know when a voice is trying to just tell you to go towards something that you know is a trap. So I think this self-healing is also about us understanding our own power and our own strength and our own knowing that we are guiding ourselves. Even if sometimes we wonder who's sailing the ship here. But I think that's a very important element of our self-healing at this point in time in history, is starting to rely on ourselves as an authority on ourselves and not the outside world and what we've been told, unless it is the truth. I'm going to open up our spirit healers mic again. I just would like to hear some of your thoughts on the healing that you do, and if you don't mind.
No, not a problem. The type of healing that I do is energy healing. It's specifically geared towards healing touch, which was created or put together energetically by the late Janet Medigan. And the other part that works sort of synergistically with the energy healing is called energetic transformation. And the teacher who taught me that, her name was Kathy Sennett. She also has crossed over. And I find that what you are saying is correct in terms of getting more, you know, that a lot of the guidance that the individual tends to get is self-guidance. And what may work well for one person may not work well for another. From what I've found, the majority of it is getting to that place where you find what works for you. Because it's not, you know, the great thing about life is that it isn't really a one-size-fits-all. And I think that that's the reason why a lot of people are getting into this place where they're becoming more awakening and going to that place of continually looking to see what is working and work and getting to understanding that inner guidance that's within all of us. But it really does come down to what works for you.
Yeah, it is so exciting that way, and especially as a healer and as energists, it's really like working with snowflakes. No one is exactly the same. Of course, there are parallel themes that we're mm-hmm. all working with at the same time, but no one can say what really works for anybody. And some people, there's been a lot of discussion about food with clients and friends and even a few people who have teenage daughters who are realizing that what they've been eating, which has been crap for most of their life, is catching mm-hmm. up to them. But yet there are some people that can eat whatever, whenever, and they're never sick a day in their life, right? So
true.
Mm-hmm. Right?
True, but, very true. Yeah.
So
yeah,
so it's like,
true.
What do you think about it? Does what you think have to do with it? I've heard also that it's your not only your physical genetics now, but also your soul's genetics, that there are some people can deal with really crappy food much better because it's not new to you and you have assimilated that. But I think that's kind of rare. And even if you can do it and not get sick, you're still not getting the mental benefits for, ascending, really, for having your consciousness go up, right?
I would say so, but I will say that from my own personal experience, what happened is that when my body no longer wanted to accept it, it would just out and out reject what it was. I think very early on for me, it was poultry. So, and I have to admit that being originally from the South, that was a
rough.
Bit of a challenge. Yeah, well, because I love my fried chicken. I mean, just, to say that, that a Southern girl can no longer have fried chicken is just, like, really almost kind of blasphemous. So you should hear my family when I'm around them. But I got to that point where I couldn't eat chicken. I couldn't do turkey anymore. And it was just, I would actually have physical reactions to those things, and I said, okay, well, obviously, I'm just going to go in the direction that my body has told me. It sort of fluctuated back and forth with products that have dairy in them. For a minute there, I was lactose intolerant, and then I had also noticed that I had in the morning, I would wake up really stuffy in the morning. So I had gone back to eating dairy. But then when I stopped it, I noticed that I didn't have nearly as much congestion. So, your body is absolutely brilliant. You just have to, it's just been my opinion, that you just have to listen to it because it will at some point tell you what will work for you and what will not. I know that especially for me, when it comes to sugar, it is, I will say, and I know that for some people they will find this ironic, their Weight Watchers put out these little cakes with the yellow frosting, and I kid you not, I cannot eat just one. I will inhale the box. And I know that there have been like several people who just found that really funny. But your body is going to tell you. Your body is extremely intelligent. And when you actually, I have found that when you actually ask the body questions, you will get some type of response. It's generally sort of kinetic, but you will get some type of response from the body if you actually start asking the body questions about, well, what will work for you? And in order to sort of differentiate, I always recommend that a person actually, before they actually start that process of talking to the body, just ask the body, what does no feel, what does yes feel like, what does no feel like? And that allows you to differentiate and then ask, well, does this particular, this thing that I'm about to eat, does this work for us, work for the body? And, you know, your body will give you a response.
Absolutely. And I think the body is a great tool right now to work with, because it does give you instant feedback. But it also takes time. So you have to have some patience and some trust and just keep on the path. But by doing that, the more you keep on the path, the more you see results with yourself, the more you see that you're communicating with yourself. So it starts to build confidence and it starts to build trust, just like a friend. You know, it's like, well, every time he said he's going to show up, he shows up. So, that you know, I trust that he's going to be here. So it's the same thing with the body.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Also, I think it's interesting when you said, you know, just listening to the body. I work a lot with the Louise L. Hay book, and I've been having issues with my knees since I was a kid. And knees are all about flexibility, stubbornness, and ego. And I don't really feel like I'm a stubborn or an egotistical person. I didn't really get that. But still, I have to consider it because I do believe in the book. And so I realized finally, after years of wondering what that was about and asking my knees, what's your deal? Are we really stubborn and egotistical? Well, I realized it was about me stubbornly trying to impose my will of, you will work, knees. Come on, man. Get it together. You can do it. What is wrong with you? Work now. And the knees are like, listen, that is not how you're yelling, first of all. So we're going to keep hurting. And so finally now I have a nice working relationship with my knees, and also changing the paradigm. I think, you know, when you say, well, I like I just said, I always had trouble with my knees. Well, your knees hear that. So in order to say, okay, now you work. Now I will work with you to see how you work. And I know that you will work. So taking us out of this sort of healing and into wellness. I struggled with whether I should use the word healing, but I think sometimes, you know, when you're ailing, you can only reach towards healing. Wellness is too far. You don't remember, you know, maybe you never had it. So always having an issue with my knees, it's like it's a constant thing in my head. So to get myself out of this, I have a problem with my knees, I now think I am working with my knees to strengthen my knees and strengthen everything around it so my knees can work perfectly. And that seems to really make a difference. They're not swelling. They're not cramping. So I really appreciate that. Why don't you give people your where they can find you? Where are you based?
I'm based out of Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh.
Are you asking specifically like or they can find me on Facebook. I actually Healing Paradigms, which is in your chat room right now. And if people type in Healing Paradigms, they'll be able to find me on Facebook. And I could forward the information to my URL for the services that I offer. But yeah, I'm based out of Maryland.
Wonderful.
I'm also a relationship coach, as well as intuitive. So, you know, and if anybody is interested in any relationship coaching, they can find me and my business partner at OneLoveOneConnectionOneUs.com. And also the same thing for Facebook, One Love, One Connection, One Us, and they will be able to find us on Facebook as well.
Nice. That is wonderful. That was one of the things I wanted to bring up about self-healing is healing our relationships with others while still speaking our truth. I think that's quite a balance we're all working on now, especially women, you know, saying what they really feel without, you know, blowing up the barn.
Yes. My business partner and I, we specialize in helping people to communicate in more, I guess you can say, conscious and loving ways in order for their mates to actually understand them. One of the things that we are finding or that we have found is that there are a lot more single people out there now than there ever has been in the history, you know, in history. And so what we do is tell people or show people, you know, different ways or different methods of being able to do that. So, and being able to be truly honest and sincere because, you know, the foundation of any great relationship is communication. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Or, you know, with being able to share what you're thinking and feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that is great. I'm so glad that you showed up. It's just wonderful to hear like the other people that are doing, you know, the work, the light work.
Yes, most definitely. It was a bit of a journey getting here. I've been doing energy healing now for 8 to 9 years. And I was, well, I guess you could say I was working to do it my way. And I will say that my way did not work so well. So finally this year I did say, okay, obviously what I've been doing isn't working. What would you have me do? And what evolved was a sort of, I guess you could say, you know, everything coming together in its own time. My business partner being ready for me meeting, going down to DC and meeting up with people who were, the only thing that I could say is that they're a part of my soul family, and in partnering up with them to, you know, move forward with the work that obviously needs to be done in the world. So, you know, it's been a wonderful journey, and I have to say that getting the opportunity to meet all of them has been a part of my healing process as well, you know.
So when you say you asked, you know, what would you have me do? You asked your higher self? You asked...
One of the things that I always say is that that the divine within, you know, that place within, I really got to a point of like absolute frustration with the way things had been going, and it was the way that I guess you could say I had been taught throughout my life to go and deal with things, and it wasn't working effectively because I have to say that I think to a degree I know that I actually caused the difficulty. I just did not realize it at the time. But I had said, okay, well, I want to be about helping people and assisting them. And the things that I was doing in order to make a living, they weren't working for me. And it wasn't putting me in the place of assisting people the way I would like. So at the beginning of this year, I said, okay, you know, and that place of what I call inner stillness, the God within, I said, okay, I'm not getting, you know, I'm obviously doing something wrong. My ego is doing something wrong. What is it that you would have me do? And I, like I said, it was an evolutionary type of process of meeting people and also being in the, you know, right place at the right time. There were a number of visions that came up and you know, letting me know that these were the people that I was going to be partnering up with. And yeah, that was, I guess you could say that has been a part of my journey, and it continues to evolve as time goes on.
What a wonderful self-healing story right there, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? The connecting in, and then the answers are there. And I think we all do a lot of, and are going to, especially in 2015, because if all of my sources are correct, 2015 is really going to start rolling. It's really year two. This has been year one of figuring out what works, what doesn't work. And then in 2015, we're really rolling. So I think there's going to be these moments where we have to have these adjustment periods where we go, okay, this isn't working. And I feel it. It doesn't feel good to me. So when you've already worked on having a peaceful, content paradigm going on, those this doesn't feel good are so apparent, and you have to do something about them. So, and it is, it's trying to tell you something. It's trying to tell you that it needs attention. So then to go within and to find those answers, and then we can flow on the path again. It's really like just asking your GPS, you know, I went a little off road here. I don't know where I'm at. Help me out. And then it goes, please proceed to your actual destination. You're like, thank you. But if we feel all kinds of things about it and get kind of crazy about it, we can get stuck in a pothole. Now we have a flat tire. You know, it's like, oh, my God. So really getting out of that emotion of it and just saying, okay, clearly. And so it's just a question, and helping our story unfold, realizing that we never get it done, that this is supposed to be fun, all of these things where we go, oh, where are we? What's going on? What, instead of freaking out, going, ooh, this is something else. This is a new learning opportunity. So,
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Very good.
So, yeah. So, well, tell me, well, what's your story, or have you already shared it before?
Spirit therapy is something that I've been doing for a while, but I didn't know what to call it. And I came up with spirit therapy because it incorporates, I have a psychological background, the regular psychology, and I felt like it took too long, and there had to be a quicker way of getting to what is really, you know, fixing paradigms, really. Not that you're broken, but maybe you've got some broken records going on in your head. So I took, I was in a debt job that I couldn't stand, and I started reading a book, Living in the Light by Shakti Gawain. And I wanted time to not have to go to a job and to figure it out. And that's exactly what manifested. And so I spent 3 years really in the bath figuring out what is going on, how does all this work, and how do you live a life that is enjoyable all the time, no matter what is happening. And so spirit therapy is the birth of that. So you can tell by the way that I talk that it is about the way we think, the way we feel, and following it up with action. And meditation, I found a wonderful article of that Harvard did a study. It's called Harvard Unveils MRI Study Proving Meditation Literally Rebuilds the Brain's Gray Matter in 8 weeks. And they couldn't really tell before. Maybe some people were just wired better than others. But then with this study, the participants spent an average of 27 minutes per day practicing mindfulness exercises, and this is all it took to stimulate a major increase in gray matter density in the hippocampus, the part of the brain associated with self-awareness, compassion, and introspection. And the participants reported reductions in stress also were correlated with decreased gray matter density in the amygdala, which is known to play an important role in anxiety and stress. None of these changes were seen in the control group, indicating that they had not merely resulted merely from the passage of time. So it's again working with our brains and forming new pathways and new paradigms is really what it's all about. And I know that's what you do too. Right? I mean,
very
you kind of can't argue with it. So,
very true.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up is on our website, spirittherapynyc.com, I have also a psychic reader, and I have, we call it intuitive drawings, which no one's ever heard of. It's a new thing. He draws portals, really. He talks to you about what's going on, tunes in with your energy, and draws you a picture for you to meditate with. And so I call them like healing mandalas, which obviously are more than just a pretty picture. It's about rewiring your brain with your emotions, your higher self, your spirit self, and looking into these pictures tells you something about yourself and also how to figure yourself out. I have one that he made years ago, and it's the first picture is you're walking into a temple, so you're walking in to figure something out. The next picture is a house with a road, with water. So it's everything you need. Everything is always there, exactly what you need. And then the third picture is a Buddha sitting in a lotus position with a lion sitting at her feet. And that's when you have accomplished what you came to the temple to accomplish, and you are now at peace. And have the lion not trying to eat you, but calm, the strength right next to you. And the key is the ankh of life. It's just your life. It's just what. So that really helped me. And it's a pretty cool thing. Ooh, I forgot to mention, for the month of December, we are giving 50% off of the Healing Mandala pictures or spirit therapy for everyone. So you can check us out at spirittherapynyc.com. So great. Well, I'm going to play a little song and take a little bit of a break before we come back for the end. But thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to hear you again, and I will definitely check you out on Facebook.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me on.
Thank you. All right. Let's listen to Magic by Lady Hawk, and I picked it for a reason, so here we go. All right. I thought that was good with the one journey with me, but it's worth it. One life with you and as magic, something like that. I like that song because I kind of think of it as learning your self-healing. Like, you know, what are you? What are you doing to me? It's not fair, you know. But yet, it's magic and it's worth it. So I feel that our search for self-healing can be this elusive thing sometimes. And sometimes we don't get the answers immediately. And but I think that happens so that there is no answer to give at those moments. The answer is to really look at what the question is and to take a moment with the question and see what's happening with you and really just what it is that you do when you're in those moments of what's going on, either physically, mentally, emotionally, what's going on, why is this happening to me? What we do in those moments is really the most important because we can spend however long we want in misery and negative emotions, or we can train ourselves to know when we're going into some negative emotion and go, that's not what we're doing. And that, I think, if you can learn to do that and to get yourself out of a pit quickly, you're on your way to becoming a master of yourself. Because imagine how much time that people can spend in something that is not helping us, in freak-out mode, in stress mode, in worry mode, in feeling sick and just going with the feeling sick feeling. If we can snap ourselves out of that quickly, then the healing can begin quickly, and then we're really flying on a paradigm of self-healing, of knowing how to heal ourselves and allowing our body to do exactly what it needs to do. I was listening to an Abraham about, you know, letting your body do what it does best. And he said, when you're driving your car, do you ever think, oh, I should get under the hood and see if the engine needs my help? Because, you know, it might need me. What? No, you do your part. You just drive. You let the engine do what it needs to do. If it has a problem, it will let you know, just like our caller said. So, and I know a lot of my clients and some of my friends, you know, if it's not a back issue, it's a knee issue. If it's not that, it's a stomach issue. Somebody's having something physical. And to believe in our healing, if your brain can wrap itself around the idea that at some point we as humans knew how to physically heal ourselves quickly, easily, it's what they call Jesus's miracles. He was tapped into that wisdom and understanding that we all are capable of in healing ourselves. So it's just the beginning, you know. We don't have to, again, we can't put the pressure on ourselves of hitting a home run of, I can heal everything by tomorrow. But it has to start somewhere. And to start the paradigm of learning and searching and looking for self-healing and how to do that with our mind and our body and our energy, the next generations won't have to work so hard because it'll be in the consciousness and in the DNA. So, and to work with energy healing and light healing, you don't have to be a practitioner and have had all these courses to work with light energy and just physical energy. Anytime I have a pain somewhere, after I freak out and I go, we're not freaking out, let's take the knee example. I just send healing light energy. I will wrap my knee in either multicolored or just the white light, and feel what that feels like. If you're doing it right, you can feel it. It feels like there is an energy ball. It feels tingly, feels maybe a little warm. Sometimes it gets cold because there's a lot of energy moving around. Ask your angels, your guides, whoever you talk to come and to bring wellness. You are looking for wellness because that's a good thing in self-healing. You don't always constantly want to be in healing. You want to be in wellness. You want to be well. So if you can jump towards that, then by all means do that. And to stay with that for a while. And then a lot of times I fall asleep after I do that because I'm moving a lot of energy. I'm working with a lot and there's a lot of concentration. And then when you sleep, it's really one of our greatest healers, sleep. Why? Because our brain takes itself out of the equation. That's why we learn to quiet the mind, because it's all those thoughts that can create stress and dis-ease. So, yeah, it's amazing that you can have a thought and give yourself a heart attack. I mean, if you think that thoughts aren't powerful, look at that. And we know that the people that are calm and happy always are the happiest and are the most healthy. So, and of course, I have to mention, what do you talk to other people about? You know, what's the story? Because the words, that's why we have affirmations. And if you want to say them out loud, it's a good idea because we like to hear it. Even though words don't teach, words can do a lot for you. the paradox. So finding your happy place. And really, we can't talk about self-healing without talking about manifesting. And I'll just talk about that for the last 5 minutes. Again, in Abraham, one of the recordings gave a nice 1, 2, 3 on the manifesting process. So in the manifesting process, the first evidence you receive about your thoughts are the emotions you feel. Because when we want something, we want it because we think it's going to make us feel better if we have it. So the first evidence you receive about your thoughts are the emotions you feel about it. That's a good way to start if you're coming from a healing perspective. It's about, you know, what are you thinking when something hurts? Or if you want more money, do you feel stressed out? Those are your thoughts and the emotions. Okay, so then number two, the second thing that manifests is thought. Notice first the emotion, then put the emphasis on the thought that has caused the emotion. Momentum makes it easier to continue a thought. So when we're manifesting in a positive place, notice the emotion that puts the emphasis on the thought. Like, I want my legs to work perfectly. The more I think about that, the more I feel that, the more I envision that and dwell on that, the momentum makes it easier and easier for me to continue on the thought of manifesting knees at work. Number three, when it feels good, begin to be the realizer of the sameness. You are the translator of those thoughts. You are tuned into what you are and what the thoughts are. You're the translator of the thought. Be the realizer of the sameness. The sameness means, you know, when you feel good, the good things come in. So I think what they mean there is keeping yourself on a chronic appreciation vibe and tuning yourself also to the frequency and the, the dimension where that is happening. So you're choose your own adventure. You're tuning in the life where your knees work and you've got plenty of money. How about that? And then number four is acting on impulse when you feel good. When you have a good feeling and you know that you're listening to that voice that's not going to tell you to eat the whole chocolate cake. It's the one that you know that makes good decisions, that feels good, that when you have an impulse and you know it's from that voice side of you, to act on those impulses. And that has been a great thing in not only trusting, but making good decisions. We all know that voice that just tells you things. Just tells you things in that way where you're like, you hear it. You can't help but hear it. But sometimes it's kind of random. Like, you know, bring that pen. Like, I don't know that I need that pen. Why do I need that pen? And then you keep talking about it. And then it may say it again. Bring that pen. I find it's best, especially if it's random like that, to just do it, especially when it's just something you can plop in your bag. Okay, who knows? Maybe I will need this. Because I can't tell you how many times I have needed that thing, from that voice. And that's the communication with the higher self, and strengthens those synapses in your brain that you know to listen to that voice. And that voice will tell you things like Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, says she forgot her keys for a car that was in a different state. And she got to the car and she was like, oh, crap, I don't have the keys. And she realized that she thought about it over and over and over again. Get the keys, get the keys, get the keys. She never did. She left without the keys. So I think we also will have those moments, and especially also when we don't listen to it, we see how we justify, you know, not to listen to that. When there is a clearer path of, you know, you may have been able to see why you needed this, slow down, take your time, you know, and strengthen the communication. I think it's like learning another language, really. You know, the more you spend time talking in that language to the language speakers, the better your communication is going to be. And with us, the language is vibration. So we have to learn to read the language vibration, which only we can teach ourselves, because everybody's internal vibration language is different. Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. Talk about the snowflakes. All right. Well, I think I will leave it at that. Congratulations on staying on the planet and being happy in this time. a lot of energy movement. Everybody's jockeying for your position. I think the best thing we can do in self-healing is to just relax, let it go. If it's annoying in the head, just let it go. Do whatever you can do to tell yourself that it is cool, man. Because it's all about, that's what self-healing is all about, is releasing the baggage so that we can float up. That's the idea of the ascension. It's a brain, it's a consciousness ascension. And we stay with the body, you know, what we need to do, the parlor trick where we go up to heaven in the body. No, it's much more fun to be happy and part of our soul in this physical body. That's what we came here to learn. So, thank you all very much for listening, and I will see you next week. Have a wonderful start to December, and be happy. Good night.